Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away, the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves bare into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for this place that sits here by the side of the road that we can come and meet. Three times a week, we're thankful for these folks who gathered in tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for these good testimonies, how they've blessed us today and how they encouraged us. And Lord, I pray for a few minutes now as we look at your precious word, that Father, you'd apply some things to our heart to help us tonight. And Lord, we're going to see some similarities to some things we're going through ourselves. And Lord, we're just glad to have your word tonight. We know it's every word is true, every jot and tittle is true. It will not return void, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciples were with the Lord, and he was teaching from a ship. Generally, they pulled it into near the shore, and he'd stand on the ship, and he would teach. It was kind of like a pulpit for him. And so when they finally got done ministering to the multitudes, they sent them away, and Jesus says something to them that I think is real significant. He said, Let us pass over to the other side. Now, I've seen this. It's called the Sea of Galilee. It's really a large body of water, but not as large as the sea. They called it the Sea of Galilee. A lot of storms come up on that sea. And we'll see how that comes up in just a minute. But he said, let's pass over to the other side. And I want you to think about this. This is a picture of our life's journey. We're on our way someplace. We're going to pass over to the other side. Child of God, the child of God tonight is passing over to the other side. I'm glad I know where I'm going tonight. Amen. I know where I'm going. But I'm just not going to float around somewhere out in the sea and hope I wind up in heaven. I know where I'm going. But we're on a journey, and that in that journey, it's not easy sometimes. But look at your Bibles here just a minute, down at verse 35. He said, let us pass over to the other side. And so they got on board this ship, and they're heading out. And they're on a journey. But notice in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm coming right back to Mark 4. Well, look at Hebrews 11 just a minute, please. Let's make the application for us here. Hebrews chapter 11, and down in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 13. The Bible said this, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly there they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. He said a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God has prepared for us a place. He calls it a country. He calls it a city. Why would he call it that? Well, heaven's the country. The city is the New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. And that's where the believer is going to live for eternity, in that New Jerusalem. And we are on a journey. We're passing through. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I'm so glad of that. The longer I live, I'm so glad that this thing's just temporary down here. Have you seen some of the styles and fashions lately that people pay big money to wear and to do, especially with their hair and stuff? I never saw so much colored hair in my life, green, blue, orange, and streaks. And that's your hair. Whatever you want to. It's a free country. Just do what you want to. But it scares you sometimes. You walk in a dark place, here's this guy got all his hair like that. It's all different colors. But it's a weird place. We're in a strange country down here. We live in a place that is temporary. And you and I are just building the strangers down here. But we look for one who's builder and maker is God. That keeps us going. When you and I think about heaven, that keeps us going. Thank God one day on you and I, when we wake up, we'll take our last step down here. We'll take our last breath down here, and we'll step off on the glory side and be in a completely different world. Amen. We will. Completely different world. And God said down here, let's pass over to the other side. We're going someplace. The world doesn't know where they're going. They think a lot of them hope there's just nothing out there, yet this darkness, and it's all over with. But God said, let's pass over to the other side. But while they're passing, while they're on this journey, you and I call life, a storm came up. Look at your Bibles down here, please, in verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of sea, and the waves beat into the ship as so that it was now full. Apparently this storm came up pretty suddenly. If you ever spend any time out on the water, Brother Paul can tell you about this. He's an old sailor. I don't mean old sailor, but I'm saying Brother Paul just... Well, forget about it. These storms come up sudden. I mean, the sky can be clear, and all of a sudden, wham, here's this storm. Kind of like life, isn't it? You and I can be going along good. We can get checks in the mail, thank God. We can get raises. We can have all kinds of good stuff, and all of a sudden, wham, some storm comes up, a lightning bolt comes, and changes the whole perspective of things. That's the way it is. And people are such sissies. Dear Lord, we live in people out there, so they just whine over the least little thing. Well, my car broke down today. Well, thank God you got a car. Go learn to fix the thing, whatever. Wreck it and then collect the insurance. I don't care. But all this stuff, they're just whiny. I can't take it. I just can't take whiny people. And in reality, there's some people who's got a really reason to whine. They've got a terminal sickness. Somebody died in the home. They got the reason. But whatever happens, this storm came up, and apparently it must have come up pretty fast. But look down here, please, in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 37, the Bible said this. He said that there was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so that it was almost full. That the storm was so fierce that the waves come crashing over the bow of the ship and was filling it full of water. Now, you don't have to be a scientist to figure out that if you get enough water in anything, it's going to sink out in the ocean. And it's a bad situation out there. And here they were. This storm came up. It was a fierce storm. Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. There's not a parent in here, not a parent in this place that has not thought about in the darkest hour of the night, what would I do if one of my kids died? What would I do if I got a phone call one of my kids is killed in a car wreck or dead? What would we do? You say, I shouldn't think about that. I agree, we shouldn't, but we do. And Job said, that which I greatly feared came upon me. Job, he said, I thought I was in safety, but I wasn't in safety. And Job had plenty of land and houses and had 10 kids and everything was going fine. And one day he woke up and it was all gone. And he was sitting in an ash heap scraping his balls with a piece of pottery with his wife saying, curse God and die. That storm came up quick. And it looked like that ship was going to sink. You ever been in that kind of shape? Have you been in a shape where it looked like your financial ship was going to sink? I have. Huh? You say, I don't know how we're going to make it, Lord. I can tell you story after story. Give him praise and give him glory for all he's done, how much he's taken care of us this last year. I can't even tell you. Just the way God's taken care of it. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. I mean, the people that God puts in our life. I told you about the guy stepping on my front porch. I didn't even know him, man. Put a check in my hand. He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. But he had money to help us through a dark time. He didn't know me. I hadn't seen him since. He just walked over my porch. Folks just don't walk up on your porch and give you money. Are you listening? Nowadays, they walk up on the porch and take your money. I'm talking about. But it could be a financial storm. It could be a storm in your health. I was with Sister Ellen when they came by and they said, Miss Ellen, you're going to die. You only got just a few months left. You got that. You need to go home and set your house in order. That's many, many years ago. Unless I was hallucinating, she played the piano tonight for us. Unless I was hallucinating. And probably played the piano for many, many years after that. And that just proves the doctors don't know everything. What happened there? I'm telling you, so that doctor, I said, everything I see on this chart looks bad for you. The storm has hit your life. Cancer's going to take over, and you're going to die. But Dr. Jesus walked in and said, I'll give you a second opinion right here. Amen. I got a second opinion. She ain't going to die. As God just that storm comes up, you may have a storm in your life with your children. Maybe your kid goes to jail. Maybe your child gets sick. Maybe they want, I don't know, 1,000 things happen to kids. They know how to break your heart. They really do. And that may, one day it may, the phone may ring or the door may open and your life is changed forever when some storm comes rolling in. Somebody comes in, you're down the work, on the job. And man, you've been there a long time, you're doing a good job as far as you know, everybody loves you. But the boss comes in and says, we're downsizing, the company's not doing good, and your job is gone as of next week. That happened to me. I thought I had a good job, I did have a good job. I thought I had a job as long as I wanted. I thought. But and then I said, what am I going to do? 9/11 came the week after that. You couldn't get a job, you wanted one. The whole country was in chaos. I said, what am I going to do, man? I'm 60 years old. I've got to give my tin cup and a monkey and get out on the street and make me some money, take care of my family. I'd have done anything. I really would have. But I didn't have to do any of that. God worked it out. God worked it out. Bless his name, he worked it out. And I never missed a paycheck, never missed a meal, never missed a bill. I give him glory and I give him praise. All I'm saying is, when those storms come up, the only place we can look is up. I'm telling you that right now. The Bible said that storm came up quick. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Look at Matthew's perspective of this same event. In Matthew chapter 8, look down at verse 24. He kind of tells you about how bad this storm was. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with water, but he was asleep. It was covered with water. The first only time I ever been on a big ship, well, we were on a cruise one time, but the biggest ship I've been on was a troop ship coming over from Europe when I was getting discharged from the Army. And we got out in the North Atlantic. I was just a kid. I never had been on a ship in my life. And they sailed out of Bremerhaven, Germany, and we got out in the North Atlantic, and the third day out, we hit a bad storm. And that thing, I thought it was just going to cover the ship up. It was pitching. It was rolling. It was doing this, doing that, rolling around. And I said, I am not going to get sick. I won't get sick. It's a mind over matter. I ain't going to get sick. I did good until the guy next to me got sick. You know what I'm saying? then he had company. You know what I'm saying to you there? Oh, man. I don't want to ruin your lunch for your supper tonight, but I'm just saying. But it was a bad storm. It came up and it went on. And sometimes, folks, these storms go on for a long time in your life. You say, when's it going to be over? It looks like this storm just goes on and on. I had some hope. I thought I saw the sunshine. I thought I saw the sunlight. But now it's dark again. Those storms can last a long time in your life. But here's the thing about it. They were down there and Paul was on the ship for all these weeks, sailing to Rome, and it got in a bad storm. And the Bible said they didn't see the daylight for 2 weeks. And the scripture said all hope was gone. Read it, book of Acts, chapter 26. All hope was gone, Paul said. But he got down and he got going to God and he got to praying to God. And he stepped up on the board of that, on the deck of that ship that day. They were throwing stuff overboard. The winds were howling, the lightning, and the rain was running sideways. And Paul stepped on that board, up on that deck and said something that sounded so stupid. He said, be of good cheer. Oh, I love the storm. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He said, because the angel of God was up in that, he showed me it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. The Bible said that storm came up. It came up suddenly. It looked like it was lasting a long time, and it was a very great storm. It wasn't no little storm. Look back in your text tonight, please, at Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, where was Jesus in all this? He was down in the lower part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. When the storm hit, I don't know what time of the night it was. It might have been the night, and that makes it even scarier at night when it's dark and all this stuff happens. And he came down there, and they said, where's Jesus? They couldn't see him. Here's the point. If you don't get anything I said, please get this tonight. Please, I'm asking you to get this tonight. Just because you can't see him does not mean he's not there. Am I right about that or not? Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. There have been times in the so dark and so around me that I thought, Lord, where are you? I can't see you. I can't feel you. But I look back now and thank God he was there all the time. His hand held mine. He was in charge of the storm, thank God. And neighbor, let me tell you something. On the nights and days you can't see him, he's there. He's there. He did not leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. The Bible said went down and they said, Lord, don't you care? I mean, the ship's blowing apart. What are you doing? Carest thou not that we perish? He cares. We sang a song tonight. Does Jesus care? Thank God. I know he cares. I know he cares. Look at John 6 just a minute. John 6. John chapter 6. And what's here is here's Jesus. And they've got multitudes of folks to feed. You ever had that? Had a big family to feed? Bunch of kinfolk coming like locusts going through your place? The first church, first and only church I ever pastored outside of this one, was Bible Baptist Church in South Lebanon. I was just a kid preacher in my 20s. All exuberant, man up there. Those folks were good cooks, all from down in the sticks in Tennessee and Kentucky and West Virginia. And Kay Sandberg said they took it over without firing a shot up there. And so I got all wound up. We was on the radio. Had a radio broadcast every day. We came on the radio on a country music station. And they were playing Waylon Jennings and Dolly Parton. We came on in the middle of all that in 15 minutes telling folks how to get saved and go to heaven. Well, we decided we was going to have a homecoming. I invited everybody in the listening audience. I said, man, come on out to our church. Free food. We got this quartet that's going to sing. Tell me, hey, you bring anybody can. Bring your kinfolk. There's plenty of food. Well, I caught it from the women when I got home. What do you mean inviting everybody on the radio? What if we run out of food? And then I was in the doghouse. I ate more Alpo that week. I chased cars. I guarantee barked at the moon. But I learned my lesson. You don't invite everybody on the radio. They came and they cleaned everything out. They barely had enough food. But sometimes you lose your job, or sometimes things get tight, and you say, well, "How am I going? I got to feed my family." But women, particularly, think about this. What am I going to do to feed my family? John chapter 6, verse 1 said, and after those things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee into the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which they did on them. That were diseased. And Jesus went up in the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them. Now watch the next passage. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus has got it covered. He knew what he's going to do. They were panicking. They said, we don't have enough to feed this crowd. What are we going to do? Jesus knew what he was going to do. He's going to fix it where everybody got to eat. Folks, let me tell you something. When the storms come in our lives, hear this preacher. When the storms come in our lives, it never, ever catches God by surprise. It never catches the Lord Jesus Christ unprepared to help us in that storm. He knows what he's going to do. There have been times I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? If I do it, it's wrong. And sometimes you just look around and you say, I just want out of this. Lord, let me out of this. I don't know what to do. Then I remember the Lord knows what he's going to do. And I got to trust that. I got to go to that and say, Lord, you know the reason for this storm. You know what's going to come out. You know the end from the beginning. You know what I need out of this. You know who's involved in this. Lord, I got to put it in your hands. You know what you're going to do. And every time the Lord has showed up and did what he knew he was going to do. Look down in Mark chapter 4 one more time, please. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, did you notice this? There were two elements of that storm. The Bible said when that storm came up, there were two elements. There was wind, there was a sea. Jesus addressed them both in verse 39. And he said to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The Lord knows every part of the storm you're going through. He knows every bit about it. You said, ain't nobody know. The family don't even know. God knows. The Lord knows. You said, this ain't never happened before. There's never been a time like this in my own life. But the Lord knows. He addressed every element of that storm. And the end result was peace and calm. And that's what we want in the storm, in peace and calm. The Lord's able. He calmed that storm. And he brought peace in your life. Friend, let me tell you something. I preached this morning and we read from some current events and read from the scriptures about the time we're entering into right now that are called the last days. And we've seen some horrible things and we're going to see a few more horrible things before we get out of here probably. But I'm telling you, God Almighty's got them, everyone handled. And our job is to be faithful to him and faithful in church and faithful in our families. Read our Bible, pray, tell folks how to get saved. Be honest with God and walk with God. And while we're there, the Lord will walk with us. And when a storm comes, he will not leave us. He'll walk right through with us. He'll be there. And we'll look back and say, the hand of God brought me through. God bless you. I hope it was an encouragement to you tonight. I want to be an encouragement to you. That part about the fact that just because you couldn't see him doesn't mean he wasn't there. That blessed my soul to read about that. Well, say goodbye to our audience tonight who's watching out there in TV land and wherever you're watching from. And so glad you tuned in tonight. And we'll see you down the road. God bless you. We off there, Ian? Okay, and I'll say bad stuff. No, maybe. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do that. Somebody said about this old boy down in Tennessee, this preacher, he got on a 50-watt station at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, hello, world. Anyhow, you'll get that after a while. Some of y'all a little slow enough to think. We need to pray for our brother Chuck and them and pray for our little Savannah because that's some serious prayer requests.